Christians belong to the community of God. But their understanding and perspective of the church vary, and their responses or actions to the church are different. Some people consider the church community important, so they actively interact with fellow believers and also participate in their church activities and ministries. Some others are more interested in their own lives than in the church community and do not engage with fellow brothers and sisters. Some people move from church to church looking for programs or what they want, while others settled in a church where God calls them to serve with their gifts and talent. Some people look for a church where there are people who look like and think like themselves, while others intentionally seek out a church with those with diverse backgrounds and ideas. Today, there are many different denominations and churches in the world. Many churches are continually declining in membership and eventually closing their doors. On the other hand, some churches continue to grow. What makes the difference? What is God's will in this situation? Many churches are facing various challenges in our society, with increasingly complex social issues, and some of them experience conflict and painful division. What do you think is causing some churches to fall into difficult situation or division? Is it because our social issues are too complex and challenging to deal with? Or is it because many denominations or churches are not spiritually healthy? Shouldn't the church show hope, love, unity, and the way forward to the world, rather than engaging in conflict and divisions like this broken world? What is your understanding or perspective of the church? What is the true community in the world? How did God start the church, and where is it heading? What does a true church community look like in the world? This morning we are continuing our sermon series, Guided by the Holy Spirit. Today is the fifth Sunday in this series, and we will be reflecting on true community. Today's scripture passage is Acts 2:42-47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Bible's original word for church is ecclesia. It is a Greek word meaning called out assembly or gathering in English. In ancient Greek society, it referred to a gathering of citizens in a city-state to discuss and make decisions about civic matters. In the New Testament, it is translated as church and refers to the gathering or assembly of believers in Jesus Christ rather than an individual person. If you intentionally choose to be alone or avoid the family of Jesus, remember that Jesus himself established his church. You might believe that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you haven't still fully embraced his teachings and his call to join together with your brothers and sisters, to live out his kingdom values and accomplish his will and mission on earth as it is in heaven. You are missing out on the full Christian life that God intended for you to live, the blessings that God has prepared for you, and the meaning and purpose that he has for your life. Living life with Christ, doing life with the family of Jesus together, fulfills his divine will in your life. Today's passage says that the early church devoted to the word of the Lord and to the fellowship with one another and with those who the Lord added to their community. In other words, the primary focus of the early church was loving God, loving one another, and loving others in the world. The love for God and for one another is so captivating that many people in Jerusalem just wanted to join them. They wanted to be a part of the church community. As they devoted themselves to these three loving relationships, God blessed them and transformed them into a true church community, which was the opposite of the world. In the world, people are inclined to look at others and judge them based on their worldly standards, such as appearance, gender, ethnicity, wealth, education, position, or social class. They also become divided into groups due to disagreement and infighting and become hostile toward each other based on their views on political and social issues. They treat people differently according to these external criteria. This was true in the early church era, and it is still very much true in the world today. This is what evil has been doing from the Garden of Eden. It is the sinful direction of exclusion and division that the world is in and continues to head towards. Sin creates all the barriers between people and grows hostility toward different groups. This world constantly divides people, causes conflict, and creates barriers in their hearts. But Jesus broke down all the hostile walls that sin has created and unites all different groups of people as one in him. It is the godly direction of inclusion and unity that our Lord is leading his church community to. The first church in Jerusalem established shortly after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. It began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles. God started his church for his divine purpose through the Holy Spirit. God gave power to the monocultural group of disciples to create a new community where people had unity that transcended cultural and language barriers. The early church was primarily composed of diverse groups of Jewish believers from various cultural and linguistic backgrounds. As the gospel spread beyond Jewish communities, the church continued to embrace a wide variety of people, including those from different ethnic groups and different socioeconomic statuses, such as wealthy individuals who could host gatherings in their homes, and those in need who received support from the community. The first church was notable for its countercultural stance on ethnic, social, and gender inclusion, fostering a community where traditional and sinful barriers were broken down in the name of the Lord. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jews, Gentiles, slaves, masters, and men and women were all valued, accepted, and treated as equals, regardless of their backgrounds or social status. To the people in the culture of that day, the church was a new community with a totally new kinds of love and grace, where everyone was unique, everyone was special, everyone was equal, and all were united as one family through faith in Jesus Christ. This community was shocking and unimaginable to the people of that day. In the context of their worldly culture, the church community was so revolutionary to them. God was in the center. Lives were dramatically changed. Prayers were answered. Bodies were healed. God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's think about this for a moment. What does a church look like today in the world? How many denominations and churches are showing the true community of unity, overcoming all kinds of serious challenges, and sincerely embracing all people, regardless of their backgrounds, like the early church community? Antioch was a major city in the Roman Empire and a cultural hub with a diverse population of Jews, Greeks, Romans, Syrians, and others. The church in Antioch was established by the believers who fled Jerusalem due to persecution following Stephen's martyrdom. These early Christians began preaching the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles in Antioch. You can see the leadership of the church in Antioch in Acts 13:1. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. The leadership of the church was diverse and influential, and their teaching and ministry had a profound impact on the growth of early Christianity. Barnabas and Saul were Jews. Simeon, who was also called Niger, was of African descent. Lucius of Cyrene was from North Africa. And Manon was a Jewish nobleman who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. The church was remarkable for its inclusion of Gentile believers alongside Jewish converts. This inclusion challenged traditional Jewish customs, but they faithfully paved the way for the broader acceptance of Gentiles into the Christian faith. It grew as a multicultural center for early Christianity. This church became a strategic hub for Christian missionary activities, commissioning and supporting missionary journeys, including those of Paul and Barnabas. These efforts expanded the reach of Christianity to regions throughout the Roman Empire. God started the early church in Jerusalem and later in Antioch for his divine purpose. God's arms embraced all people, still continue to extend to the rest of the world through his church. We know the ultimate picture of the church revealed in Revelation 7. The heavenly church is our destination, our direction for us as a community. And God is leading us toward that direction, embracing people in the world in unity in Jesus Christ. Does your understanding of the church align with God's idea about the church? To understand what it takes to become a true church community aligned with God's idea about the church, it is helpful to look at the first church where the first disciples who spent 3 years with Jesus belonged and served. Let's look at verse 42 again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and prayer. That means they loved God, the word of the Lord, and their communication with him. They committed their lives to the Lord. The church was a community where the word of the Lord was not just taught, but lived out daily, shaping every aspect of their lives. God was in the center of their lives and in their church community. Of course, this can't be done by human ability or strength. Such transformation began when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. The first church was God-centered, Spirit-filled community. They were deeply connected to God and to one another. It was a community where love, grace, and truth abound, reflecting the heart of Jesus Christ. The power of God-centered, Spirit-filled community extended beyond all social boundaries, traditions, and challenges. The active presence and work of the Holy Spirit empowered them for bold proclamation and transformative ministries. It is not a relic of the past, but a living reality for every believer and every church community today that loves God and devotes to his word and prayer. We, as a church community also need to start with a wholehearted devotion to his words and prayer and a commitment to spiritual growth and empowerment through the Holy Spirit and a genuine love and unity that transcend all differences, conflicts, and divisions. If you feel that you, your family, or your community is shaken by any challenges from outside, you need to humbly examine who is at your center, at the center of your life, of your heart, in your family, in your community. Because there is nothing bigger and stronger than the Lord. Remember that the God-centered, spirit-filled believer and true community will stand firm in the Lord forever. Verse 42 also says, they devoted themselves to fellowship, living life with Christ, doing life with the family of Jesus together fulfills his divine will in your life. This can't be separated, and you can't choose one over the other, because it is God's divine will for his people. True Christians love their brothers and sisters and those in their neighborhoods. So the early church community devoted to loving others, it is also related to God's mission, God's dream. John 13:34-35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. When Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, he was talking about his true community that people can see, can find in this world. Christ's love is unconditional, sacrificial, forgiving, and gracious. It does not matter who they are, regardless of gender, social class, or skin color. We know this command well, but examine your heart to see if your love is still conditional. You may prefer to love only those who are similar to you in terms of lifestyle, ideas, ethnicity, stance on social issues, or beliefs and doctrines. Jesus loved his disciples, the sick, the weak, prostitute, Gentiles, Romans, and even those who crucified him. There is no favoritism or discrimination in a true community. In this world, there is no group of people identified by this love, because this love is only from God, not from anyone else in the world. I mentioned earlier that the direction of his true community is the opposite of the direction that this world is heading. This true community, church, is unique and recognized by their unconditional love for each other. And that is why this world will be drawn to Christ when they know we love one another in Christ. Verse 42 also says, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. It was not merely sharing food, but communion. They shared faith in Christ and their fellowship with one another in eternal unity in Jesus. On the night Jesus was betrayed, just before his crucifixion, Jesus shared the final meal with his disciples. He washed their feet and dismissed Judas. It was an emotional and significant moment. At that moment, Jesus looked toward heaven and prayed. His longest prayer is in John 17, where Jesus prayed for himself, his disciples, and for all future believers, including us. Let's look at a part of his prayer for us. John 17, 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is Christ's prayer for us. He knew each one of you here. He knew your life individually and our situation as a community that we are in today. Jesus prayed for one thing. He prayed that we would be one. He repeated because complete unity is at the core of the true community. Christ intended for us to become mature in our faith and completely united as one with our fellow believers in all situations. Jesus knew it would be very challenging and complex. That is why our Lord prayed so passionately for the future believers to be completely united as one. Do you sometimes find yourself in an overwhelming situation where it seems impossible to be united due to different perspectives convictions or challenges posed by others. Remember, the Lord Jesus Himself, the Lord Jesus Himself prayed for you and this community. The Lord prayed, so His will be done. When we are completely united as one in Christ, this world will know that Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. Jesus' heart was filled with this dream for His true community. And it should be ours as well, a calling from the Lord, because He is the head of our community. And God the Father will be glorified in all nations forever. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the privilege of being part of Your community. We pray that You help us understand and embrace Your dream for the church, not our own ideas or dream. Guide us to be a community that is deeply rooted in Your words and prayer and devoted to loving one another with Your love. Strengthen us to overcome any challenges and difficulties so that we may stand firm as one in Christ. May Your Spirit continue to empower us, leading us in the direction of inclusion and unity in love that reflects Your heart, so that the world may see You and be drawn to You for Your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.